ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, a continuation of the talks between Narada Muni and King Prachinibarhishad. Fourth canto, chapter 29, text number 35. Arte hi avidyamane api sanshritir nanivartate manasa linga Rupena Svapne Vicharato Yata Arte Hyavidyamane Pi Sangsritirna Nivartate Manasalinga Rupena Svapne Vicharato Yata Translation. Sometimes we suffer because we see a tiger in a dream or a snake in a vision. But actually there is neither a tiger nor a snake. Thus we create some situation in a subtle form and suffer the consequences. These sufferings cannot be mitigated unless we are awakened from our dream. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Vedas, the living entity is always separated from two kinds of material bodies, the subtle and the gross. All our sufferings are due to these material bodies. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparshas tu kontiya, sitoshna, sukha, dukha, da, agama payano nityas tangstatikshas vabharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O Skyan of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Bhagavad Gita 2.14. Lord Krishna thus informed Arjuna that all the distresses brought about by the body come and go. One has to learn how to tolerate them. Material existence is the cause of all our sufferings, for we do not suffer once we are out of the material condition. The Vedas therefore enjoin that one should factually understand that he is not material, but is actually Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. This understanding cannot be fully realized unless one is engaged in Brahman activities, namely devotional service. To get free from the material conditions, one has to take to Krishna consciousness. That is the only remedy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam. So in the science of self-realization, Srila Prabhupada's very famous, now very famous, reading of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's very famous explanation of the chanting of the holy names is recorded. And therein, Srila Prabhupada, he cites, we are all originally Krishna-conscious living entities, but due to our association with matter, from time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by the material atmosphere. And this pollution can at once be stopped. Prabhupada says, at once be stopped by the recitation of this chanting, this great chanting of the Maha Mantra for deliverance. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To the non-devotees, this sounds too easy. It sounds too easy, number one. And number two, they don't get any credit. The materialistic person likes to get credit, isn't it? For what they do. They're very quick to point out if they do something for you or give you something, and you don't say thank you, you don't express your gratitude, they immediately think, what an ingrate. Isn't it? Immediately there can be some sense of dissatisfaction develop. If we disregard each other, even the slightest bit, we can become upset, we can become angry. But in this material world, the living entity is constantly disregarding Krishna. Constantly disregarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or more than disregarding, openly and very antagonistically attempting to deny the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, fools deride me when I descend in human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Right? But foolish persons, they deride Krishna when he comes to this material world. We have to get this in our head. We have to become convinced. No one, and I have tried, I have made an attempt to find someone who would give me a better replacement as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But no one can. No one can. Most people don't even make the attempt. They simply speak in terms of title or position. They speak that Allah is great, or God is great, or God is love. Yes? But they never, if you ask them, that's true, now who is he? Excuse me? Who is he? What does he look like? How does he, as Prabhu said the other day, what to speak of the transcendentalist? Wanting to know how the transcendentalist sits, walks, talks, acts. How does God sit, walk, talk, act? What does he do? What does he eat? I was on the airplane coming from New York to London, and the man next to me was Indian, but he was having the non-vegetarian meal. So they asked me, what did I want? I said, well, what do you have that's vegetarian? And they said, oh, we have this, that, the other. I said, all right, I'll take that. That's all right. He said, oh, you're a vegetarian, right? I said, yes. He said, I'm curious, why you're a vegetarian? I said, actually, I'm not a vegetarian. He said, you're not a vegetarian. I said, no, when I grew up, I ate meat like anything. My parents, that's all they ate. Irish. Meat and potatoes, that's all they eat. I said, I was raised on that diet. He said, but you're vegetarian now. I said, well, yeah, but not really. He said, what do you mean, not really? I said, well, a vegetarian is someone who just eats vegetables. But I don't just eat vegetables, I just eat what Krishna eats. I'm a Krishnatarian. That's what Prabhupada said one time. Prabhupada said, we're not vegetarians, we're Krishnatarians. We eat what Krishna eats. He said, a Krishnatarian? What's that? I said, that's just someone who eats only what Krishna eats. So I wait one second because I have to offer this to Krishna. Oh, I offered whatever was there, I made a little offering. And I said, now I'll give you a little something. There was some salad. So I gave him my salad. Here, you take the salad. You like salad, right? He said, yeah. I said, you take my salad. We eat what Krishna eats. We're not vegetarians. We're Krishnatarians. We just eat what Krishna eats. He said, Krishna, you're sure that's what Krishna eats? I said, absolutely. This is what Krishna eats. He only eats fruits, vegetables, grains, and milk. But combine them in different ways, you get hundreds and hundreds of preparations. That's all he eats. So we just eat what Krishna eats, and then we take what he leaves for us. So that's human food, that's human life, that's human existence. So Krishna, he is denied his rightful position. So he comes to the material world to demonstrate his pastimes so that the initial step towards Krishna can be embraced by the conditioned soul. There are different relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From the beginning, there's simply this acknowledgement or acceptance of the existence, and then some awe, some reverence for that existence. Then, awe and reverence generates a desire to serve. Then from the desire to serve comes the desire to befriend. Then from the desire to befriend comes the desire to care for. It's like two friends can be so close, the friend, one friend starts to take care of the other friend. Almost like a child. You see? The relationship changes. Just like when a woman becomes a mother, a woman is always a potential mother. Matrivat paradareshu, paradravyeshu lostavat. That's a symptom of an intelligent man. He sees all women as a potential mother, an eventual mother. Because indeed that's how most women see themselves. Most. And when a woman becomes a mother, once she becomes a mother, she can never be just a regular woman. And around her, she always mothers everybody. You see? She mothers everyone. She mothers her children. Then as she becomes more enmeshed in that, she begins to mother her husband. Huh? Then she starts to mother the husband's friends. So this is the reality. So the relationships, they change, they adjust. As we become more close to Krishna, first we go to Krishna, please help me. Then we go to Krishna and say, please help me help you. Our service becomes something important to us, but we realize we can't serve Krishna without Krishna's help. So we go to Krishna and we say, Krishna, please, I want to serve you. Please help me serve you. So we ask Krishna for some facility, right? Isn't it? So like Prabhupada says, the devotees of the Lord spend all their day, 24 hours, advertising the glories of the Lord. One time a man in the airport, I asked him for a donation. He said, why don't you get a regular job? I said, I can't. This is my job. He said, it's not a job. I said, of course it's a job. I'm out here 8 hours every day. He said, how much money do you make? I said, I don't make any money. He said, what kind of a job is that? It's a job. I'm working. 24 hours. I'm working. He said, well, you don't get money. I said, that's not the point. I'm working. He said, well, then now you're coming to me and asking me for money. I said, exactly. I'm doing this, you're doing that. One of us has got to make the money. I don't have the money, so you got to make the money. He laughed. I said, I got the job of stopping you and hassling you and listening to you give me a bunch of guff here. Okay, that's my job. I got to tolerate your reluctance. And you got to tolerate me pestering you for money. Now take this book and read it. So this is the point. Krishna is asking the devotees to advertise for Him. Go and glorify Me. Tell everyone about Me. So the devotees are not supposed to worry about how Krishna is going to pay his advertising bill. Right? You have some product you want to sell. Right? You see all over the city advertisements. I'm amazed at this. We were talking yesterday, right? This Reliance. Very smart. They put these small square green and blue, very nice color. It just stands out. And it's up and down all the roads in Bombay. Just a little sign, Reliance, Reliance, Reliance. And even the word's a good word, Reliance. You know, it tells you they're reliable. Right? You can depend on us. Don't worry. You gotta get connected, you gotta make a call. Just depend on us. We're reliable. We're Reliance. Okay, and they advertise. Do you think that they do that for free? You think the city of Bombay doesn't charge them a lot of money to put those signs up? They do. But Reliance doesn't balk at paying the money, because whatever they pay comes back to them 10 times in profit. It's just a little percentage of what they get. You see? I was reading on, Time Magazine on the airplane. They were talking about a movie that they had produced. It cost like $150 million or something to make this movie. And they said, and that's before the cost of advertising, which you can add another $30 million. I thought, wow. They spent $150 million on the movie, $30 million to advertise the movie. That's $180 million. Right? And they're expecting they're going to get like $600 million. So that $30 million, that's nothing to them. It's a tiny little thing. It's nothing. So Krishna, he's asking the devotees, you have faith in me. Your faith develops in the association of the devotees. Your faith develops. Your knowledge increases in the association of the devotees. In your acting on this information, your knowledge becomes stronger and stronger. And your conviction that Krishna is God and that everyone is his servant and that everyone simply needs to find this out becomes stronger and stronger. And then your mind starts seeing the world in a certain way. You start seeing, oh, we could preach like this. We could preach like that. We could preach like this. We could preach like that. Right? Isn't it? And then you start to think, how will we pay for that? Oh, don't worry. Krishna will send the money. Krishna will send the money. And he does. He sends the money. He sends someone who says, hey, I want to help you. They're off accumulating. One time on a morning walk in Denver, Prabhupada said, the devotees of the Lord are like the snake. The snake doesn't bother to dig a hole. He just lets the mouse dig a hole. Then the snake goes in the hole, eats the mouse, and lives in the hole. Because Prabhupada was walking in this very beautiful park. Very nice park. Trees, very nice pathways, everything perfect, first class. And there was no one there. Nobody except the devotees. And Prabhupada said, just see. The non-devotees build these nice parks, but they have to work so hard they can't come and enjoy it. So they build a nice park, and we're here enjoying. And then Prabhupada told the story of the snake and the mouse. You see? They're so busy trying to get to work in the morning, right, that they can't enjoy the park. And then Prabhupada said, and if we invite them, please kindly come. Stay with us. Chant Hare Krishna. Enjoy the park. No. I'm too busy. So that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janvanamante, Jnanavamam Prapudyante, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Sa Mahatma Sudhulaba. After many, many births and deaths, executing these self-created duties that seem to be so important, right? That seem to be to take precedent. And in the moment, they do. Just like if you read the history of, for example, read the history of the what is called the mutiny of 1857. I'm right now studying the history of India, trying to familiarize myself. I know all the history of America and Europe, but I don't know the history of India. So I thought, if I'm going to be here for a year, I want to know the history of this place. So I'm studying 2 history books of India. So the last few days I've been studying this mutiny of 1857, which spread like smallpox, the English said, all over in India. So I'm reading how the different personalities, the different characters in that pastime, the roles they played, all right, in trying to quell this mutiny. And it's a very interesting history. And one of the points I got from that was, in the moment, there was a sense of urgency. There was a sense of incredible urgency, both on the side of the Indian rebellion and the side of the British. And everybody was trying to outfox each other, get to the soldiers first, convince them to mutiny, blah, 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 and convince them not to mutiny. If they did mutiny, kill them. If they didn't mutiny, win them over. And there was forced marches of 400 miles in 20 days, and so on, right? And there was a description of the great austerities they went through. defending himself in Delhi. That's where the main battle took place. So as I was reading this, I was thinking, wow, in the moment they thought it was so important. And now it's just a story in a book. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything in modern day India. It's just a bubble. You know? In the moment, it's an emergency. They're mutinying. We've got to do something. What are we going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And they come together. They have their little war councils and their meetings. Right? And they were describing how the reason that that one of the principal causes, or one of the principal, you might say, triggers for the Indians used as an excuse or reason was because they had a specific cartridge, a kind of cartridge that you had to tear open with your teeth, sticking the thing and down the musket. Okay, this is interesting. So, in order to get it down the barrel of the gun easily, they had to grease this cartridge. So they were greasing it with cow fat and pig fat. So the Muslims and the Hindu, the Rajputs and the Muslim soldiers, they were offended. If I bite this cartridge, I've lost my caste. I'm not going to bite this cartridge. I'm not going to use this cartridge. Okay? So they had a big rebellion over this cartridge. And 2 years after this rebellion, 2 years, they changed the guns to a breech-loaded, bullet-loaded gun. And you never even had to bite these things. It was just put in a bullet. So 2 years later, the basic principle or the basic cause was removed. So what was very important at that moment, with just a little small change in the technology, okay, gone. You see what I'm saying? In the moment, it seems so important. But in the overall grand scheme of things, it was nothing. Nothing. Right now, they're fighting in various places in the world. But in 20 years, when they use up all the oil in that place, right, or 30 years, they won't care anything for that place. You couldn't get the Americans to go there for all the tea in China. Isn't it? It's like, go to Iraq for what? It's just sand over there. What am I going there for? I don't want to have anything to do with that place. Of course, they tell you, we're going there. They give you their reasons, right? It's all nonsense. It's something else. And that something else, it'll vanish like a dream, like a bubble. Boop, done. And then 100 years from now, it'll just be a footnote in a history book. In the year 2003, the United States went to this country and they killed 15,000 people and they lost 1,000 people and they did this and they did that, and then their government changed and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And that's all it is. Just a little bubble. Boop. Boop. You see? As significant as our dreams at night. So here, Srila Prabhupada says, we have to come to the point where we recognize that all of our enjoyments and all of our sufferings are merely due to the fact that we have this body. If you read a description of some of the most difficult situations in the world today, some of the countries where it's really, really hellish, right? Read a description, if you like, if you care to do this. Read a description of the 1994 genocide that took place between the Hutu and the Tutsi in Rwanda, Africa. It lasted for approximately 7 months. Read an account of that. And it's like reading a description of hell. You know, you go to hell and you go, how did this happen? This actually happened? In our modern day, in our modern world, this occurred? You see? Now, there were many people that were stuck in Rwanda at the time when this was happening. And there was one description in an account that I was reading about this, where these particular French missionaries were trying to get out. At a certain point, they had gone to Rwanda. They were missionaries. They were helping the people learn how to produce food, how to provide for clean water, okay? How to provide shelter, education. They set up some small schools, right? They were trying to improve the condition for the people. Then this madness occurred, and they were forced to withdraw from trying to improve the condition of the people. Now they were only concerned with improving the condition of themselves, trying to find some security, some place where they could pull back from the insanity, right? And then they came to the realization that first, not only can they not help the people, but now they can't even help themselves. So now what? They're left with one thing and one thing only: how to get out of the country. And it was describing how they managed to get through. They sneaked through the border. And they had French passports. They weren't Rwandans. And because they had a French passport, they were allowed to go through, and they got out. You see? So this is the key to understanding. At a certain point in time, one must understand, after many, many births, Bahunam Janmanamante, Gyanava Mamprapadyante, Vasudeva. Sarvamiti. You understand. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Wait a second. That means whatever's happening here in terms of suffering, misery, pain, death, ultimately Krishna's behind it. How can I fix it? Right? How can I fix it? I can't fix it. It's designed by Krishna to be this way. For some reason or other, these people over here must deserve this situation. He must deserve his situation. Or he's getting some mercy. In either case, I can't change it. So what can I change? I can change one thing. One thing only. I can change my conception of how I will approach this problem and all problems. Instead of thinking how to fix these problems, I'm going to think how to get out. And in the process, I'm going to bring as many people with me, like we said on Sunday. Take this attitude. I don't want to go back to Krishna without as many people as possible. Like Dhruva Maharaj. I don't want to go back to God without my mother. Right? And then he looked over and he saw, no, his mother was getting on the airplane she was going back to. That's why the devotees are working. But they're working in the positive reality. They're working in a way that actually yields a fully positive result. Not a temporary positive result, but a full positive result. No one can accuse the devotees of the Lord of not working. Just like when devotees are over here making garlands or cutting vegetables. Right? Or counting and spending Krishna's Lakshmi. Or cleaning Krishna's temple. Even just wearing a dhoti. It's serving Krishna. You see? And when someone sees you with tilak and a dhoti, they're inspired to inquire. What motivated you? They ask you, what motivated you? And I'm sure as young people here in India, you get this a lot, because everyone now in India, they're pursuing, right? Education, education, education. They have this concept of education. Then they see you, young, bright-faced, obviously looks intelligent. And you're here every day, chanting Hare Krishna. They wonder, why are you doing this? I met one Prabhu here, Prabhuji. And he told me what he did before he became a devotee. And I thought, wow, certainly all the people that knew him must wonder, how could you give up, you know, such a high-paying job in the material world, to come and surrender to Krishna? Because he realized that he cannot solve his problems with money. Prabhupada one time said, you may be Rockefeller, you may be any feller. But janma mrityu jara vyadhi are chasing you too. You see? I always quote that in New York because I work at Rockefeller Center. I always tell people, you may be Rockefeller, you may be any feller. But the time factor is coming after you, chasing you, right? So, actually, further on in this chapter, we're going to see there's a wonderful purport where Srila Prabhupada quotes many wonderful statements from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, wherein Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his devotees, they describe what is the essence of education. Educare is the Latin word for education. Educare, which means to bring a person out of darkness and into light, out of ignorance, into knowledge. So the real key is to provide people real education. The perfect result of an education is the fixing of one's mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Leela, 345. Conquering the world by means of material education is not desirable. If one engages himself in devotional service, his education is perfected. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, 13. The purpose of education is to understand Krishna and his devotional service. If one does not do so, then his education is false or bogus. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 12. Being cultured, educated, very active in a religious, and religious means developing natural love for Krishna. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Leela. So these are very nice statements. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. What is that verse? Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Patyavak Sagava Dharmyam Susukam Kartamavyam. From this education, one begins to see himself. Right? He begins to actually recognize and acknowledge himself. It's just thus described as the king of education, the king of knowledge. Because it ultimately solves all of our problems permanently. Temporary solutions to our problems don't solve our problems. They put off a little bit. They extend a little further. Just like you say, we want to increase the shelf life of a particular product, milk or food or whatever, right? They try to figure out how to increase the shelf life. So they add something to that product. And then later on, after eating that product, day in and day out, that product, with the additional product, makes us sick. So it increased the shelf life of the product, and it actually decreased our own life. The product outlived us. This product will last for 50 years, but if you eat it, you'll last 10. What's the sense of that? You see? So we have to become convinced. And our conviction comes from hearing, from reading, from hearing from the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada says, Divyam Jnanam is the seed of Diksha. And that is the knowledge by which all sinful activity, sinful aspiration, sinful misconception is cultivated. Is destroyed, is vanquished. All of these things are vanquished through this knowledge. And then by this chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That knowledge takes root. It takes root. It grows roots in our heart. It's watered with this chanting. And it becomes fixed. And it becomes unremovable. And then we see everything in relationship to that knowledge. We go out, everything we see. Today you'll see so many things as you do your business, you do your work. You'll see, you'll remember, just from this one verse, you'll remember so many things. As you see advertisement, you'll remember, Krishna is going to pay for his advertisement. I don't have to worry how this will be accomplished. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 4, in the pastime of Madhavendra Puri, when he brings together all the villages to install Gopal. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada says that one may not be able to understand how, in a mere 5 days, he could have arranged this. In the mundane sense, we can't understand these things. But for one who's Krishna conscious, it becomes easy to understand how this is possible. And we look around, we see what's going on in the world, we don't become alarmed. Like Prabhupada said when he was eating in Calcutta, remember? He was taking prasadam and the bombs were falling, blowing up all around him, and everybody was saying, oh, we should go to the shelter. Prabhupada said, no, I want to finish my prasadam. Right? You heard that lecture, right? And Prabhupada said, no, and I was thinking, this must be Krishna appearing in his universal form. It's not a particularly attractive form, Prabhupada said. He said, Krishna's two-arm, three-fold bending form, that's attractive. When Krishna appears in his universal form, it's not so attractive. But still, the devotee sees. When he sees the demons fighting each other, he just sees the time factor. Oh, they met up with the time factor. And he doesn't become disturbed. So it's not alarming. Just like in New York when WTC, World Trade Center collapsed, everyone was so concerned with the 3,000 people that died. And day after day after day, they were talking about these 3,000 people that died. But they never once talked about the 6,000 people that died the same day and the day after in the United States, or the 180,000 people that died worldwide the very next day. In fact, the same day. They talked about the 3,000 that died that day, but they didn't talk about the 180,000 that died that day. Why? And then the very next day, another 180,000 people died worldwide, and they didn't mention it. Not even a peep. That should be the news. We should have our own news station. Yesterday, 186,000 people died worldwide. Seems to be an epidemic of death. What are we going to do? This is Pradosh Das for KRSNA Radio, reporting live from Bombay.
You can see it, right?
Pradosh, what do you see out there? Oh, it's death and destruction and mayhem everywhere behind me. Do you see behind me? People are dying everywhere. We have a big chart. We're like the weatherman. We have a big chart. We've got Janma over here, Dave. Coming in fast. People are taking birth like you cannot believe. Yesterday alone, 112,000 people were born. Very painful. The ladies were screaming all over the planet. The sound was tumultuous. Fathers were filled with anxiety. Is he healthy? Is he normal? Is he okay? Is my wife going to live? Is she going to die? The anxiety level was incredible. Dave, yesterday, at exactly 4 p.m., 173,000 people passed the age of 65 and officially became old people. You see what I mean? But this news they don't give. Because if they gave that news, it would be just too discouraging. Who would get out of bed in the morning? Isn't it? I still think it's amazing that they get out of bed and the first thing they do is turn on the TV and have a cup of coffee and watch the morning news. And the news is so depressing. And you can't do anything about it. You turn off the news and you go, what can I do about that? 12 crack babies died in New York this morning? What can I do about those 12 crack babies? I can't do anything about them. You follow what I'm saying? What happens is eventually, just like when you're driving down the street in Bombay, every time you stop at a light, 50 people swarm your car. And they're asking you for money. Now, initially, you know, when I first got to India, I was giving out little coins. I was giving out notes. And my wife said, honey, you keep doing that, we're not going to have any money. I said, okay, I'll give out coins. So I started giving out coins. And then Prabhu said, no, we give out biscuits. So I said, okay, we give out biscuits. And after a while, you just don't even look. You don't even roll the window down. You see the same person. And you go, well, what can I do? I can't do anything about it. I gave this guy 20 rupees yesterday. He's back again today. What am I going to do? And the funny thing is, when I run out of rupees, he won't even talk to me. If I go like this, whoosh, and there's nothing, right? In New York, what I do, there's a bunch of guys that hang out at different spots on the subway. And every day, I used to give them money. And after a while, I realized this is what they do. This is their job. So when I come up the subway, I keep my pockets empty. And I come up and I just pull my pockets out. Sorry, pal. Or they'd ask me for money, and I'd ask them for money. They said, you got a dollar? I said, you got a dollar? I say, you solved my problem. And they said, I don't want a dollar. Well, I don't want a dollar either. Okay. You know, and then we, after a while, we realize this is the way the material world is. We get exhausted. We can't solve all the problems. Isn't it? And then what happens is we just become inured to it. They're just completely hardened. Now, the devotees don't do that. The devotees don't become hardened. What happens is the devotees become awakened to the reality that these are problems, and we should solve them, but we should solve them once and for all. Not, like I said, every day come the same guys there every day asking me for a dollar. What's the point of that? You should solve the problem, right? So if every lifetime after lifetime we come to Krishna and we say, Krishna, I've got this problem. And Krishna says, well, then just surrender to me. And we go, no, I don't want to do that. Well, then Krishna says, all right, stay with your problem. Stay with your janma. Stay with your mrityu. Stay with your jara. Stay with your vyadhi. Right? Stay with your disease. And we go to Krishna and say, Krishna, I'm sick again. And Krishna says, well, how many times have I had to tell you, like a parent says to the child, right? Child gets sick, he eats too many candies or too much ice cream or something. And the parent says, well, how many times do I have to tell you that if you eat 3 ice creams, you're going to get sick? I didn't think I was going to get sick, Mom. Well, you're sick now, aren't you? You see what I mean? So Krishna, we keep going to Krishna and saying, oh my God, oh my dear Lord, please help me. And this is a beautiful Bhagavatam, this fourth canto, because it describes the movements of the living entities through this pastime of Paranjana and Puccini Bhavishat. Puccini Bhavishat is being guided by Narad Muni to understand what is his future, what is his fate, on account of killing all these animals and living this life that he's been leading. You see? And we're so fortunate that if we're blessed by the association of the pure devotee and his pure devotees, we don't have to get hammered life again, life again, life again. No, we just hear. We go to Bhagavatam class again and again and again. It's less painful. It's less difficult. It's less arduous. We go to Gita class. We go to Kirtan again and again and again. But in one lifetime, we just go to class over and over and over. And in those classes, you see, Krishna miraculously takes everything that could happen to us, life after life after life after life, and he shrinks it all down. He condenses it. You see? Like a binoculars. Okay? Binoculars. You look through the end of the binoculars and everything that's really far away, whoosh, he brings it very close. Birth, death, disease, and old age. And if we associate with the non-devotee, he says, yeah, yeah, yeah. He flips the binoculars over. How many of you have ever experienced looking through binoculars and then flip it over? Anybody here ever done that? Okay, what happens? It goes really far away, right? That which was actually brought very close now looks really far. So the spiritual master, he brings birth and death and disease and old age. He brings it close to us so we can study it and see it. And then he says, here, here's the solution. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we say, is that easy? And he goes, yes, it's that easy. And we go, I'm in. I'll take it. And then, if we go and we associate with the non-devotee, they just,
Oh, yeah, I know we're going to die and get sick and get old and have disease and go through so many problems, but not now. Now we're young. We look like an ad for Bollywood. Right? We're handsome. We're beautiful. We're energetic. We got all our vitality. We can enjoy. We'll, like Prahlad Maharaj's friends, right? He said that. Don't worry, Prahlad. We'll take up Krishna consciousness later, when we're older. And then Prahlad Maharaj, he said, no. You probably know the Sanskrit for this, but Kumara Acharit Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatani Ha. Right? But there was another verse where Prahlad says, don't waste time like this. He said, in the first 20 years of your life, you're a student. And the next 20 years of your life, you're a married man. Or 25 years. And you're busy satisfying your family's needs. And the next 25 years, you're old. You're starting to get old and you're falling apart. Disease. And then you're really old and you're just waiting for death. And during all of that, Prahlad said, half of the time, you're sleeping. So if you have 20 years or 25 years of householder life, you've only really got 12 years of conscious householder life and 12 years of sleeping householder life. Right? For the non-devotee, right? They're sleeping basically half the time. Sleeping, eating, enjoying their senses, and working. If you actually analyze, I did this a couple times. I analyzed how much I actually get to spend with my wife, how much time I actually get to spend with my wife and children. It's almost nothing. I got to work, I got to sleep, I've got to eat, I've got to bathe. The amount of time I can actually be with them and enjoy their company, it's almost nothing. So, if it's not materially satisfying, a man scratches his head at a certain point and goes, this is not worth it. And he tries again, materially, something, this, that, or the other. And if he's spiritually not satisfying, he's really disappointed. Really disappointed. Because he looks and he goes, wait a minute. Half of my time has been spent sleeping. The other half has been spent earning money and then spending it. And cumulative, and this is the beautiful thing about spending money in householder life. It's in increments. It's not all at once. If I came to you and I said, Prabhuji, and I don't want any of the Matajis to take offense when I say this, because the Bhagavatam says, women must be married. Prabhupada was on a walk with Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Matajis should be married. And then he said, and all the men, you should try to remain unmarried. So that's the one paradox of Krishna consciousness we cannot solve. He said that. He said, ideally, all the women should be married, protected. And all the men, you should remain unmarried. Prabhupada said, that's a problem. You figure it out. Incrementally, we spend so much money. We have to earn and then spend so much money. And if I said to you, Prabhuji, please take my daughter. She's a beautiful girl. She's a wonderful girl. She's a chaste girl. She's a loyal girl. She's a humble girl. Blah, blah, blah. And I try to describe, as I've done for some Prabhuji. And I have to convince you that now, over the next 25 years, I want you to go out. And of course, living in India is a little different, but it's comparative. But in America now, in order to take care of a wife and children, you must earn at least, before taxes, a minimum of $35,000-$40,000. And that's just the minimum to be able to cover your expenses, your rent, your food, your car, your transportation, your medical, your dental, your insurance, etc. It's a very expensive place to live. The $40,000 is going to barely do it. Over 25 years, how much money is that? Anyone know? It's $1 million. $1 million. Now, I have seen devotees, women, men, haggling in Mayapur and in Vrindavan. They will come out the gate of Vrindavan and they want to take a rickshaw to Lohi Bazaar. And so the rickshaw walls, they all get together. They kind of create a cartel. And they decide, we're going to charge the sahibs, the shives, whatever they call them. We're going to charge them, you know, a certain amount of rupees. And we'll hold to it. We're not going to go down. These guys can afford it. So we're going to charge them, right? Well, then what happens is one of the devotees comes out who lives there. And they know, no, they're charging you 5 rupees too much. Don't pay that. So I've seen it 50 times if I've seen it once. The devotees in mass will turn and say, we're going to walk. So they all start walking. They go on strike. And it's like this, you know, who's gonna last? The rickshaw wallahs collectively or the devotees collectively? And usually the rickshaw wallahs surrender. Because one guy breaks ranks and he goes, all right, come on. And he passes on the back of his, come on, come on. And he hits the seat. And the devotees get on. And then they get to their destination and he still tries to charge him a little extra. And then I see the little Mataji sitting there fighting with a rickshaw guy over 2 rupees. Screaming and yelling over 2 rupees. And yet, people never stop to think about how much it costs in household life to take care of a wife and children. So for that reason alone, it's a very complicated affair. Because if you say to a woman, do you know what you cost me? They're not going to like that. They're not going to listen to that. They don't care what they cost you. They think you're obliged to pay. But the fact of the matter is, they cost you at least $1 million. And so then you say, I'd like some chapatis and khichdi for lunch. I don't have time to make chapatis. You don't have time to make chapatis? You cost me $1 million. You make me chapatis. If you had to go out in the material world and get a job as a maid, and the guy said, you know, I want you to do this, this, and this, and you're making $300-$400 a week or whatever it is, you can't say to your boss, I don't have time to do that. I know you want me to clean the kitchen, but I don't have time. He's going to say, you know what, you're right, you don't have time and you don't work here anymore. Goodbye. You see what I mean? So one of the reasons why all this nonsense in the Western civilization is so unpleasant, it's because people don't actually deal with the practical realities of what's going on. I'm not saying that our Mataji should be measured in terms of money. But what I am saying is that you have to consider the reality of what you would have to do, okay, what you're going to get. So if your children don't come out Krishna conscious, the whole doggone thing is a total waste of time. Imagine, you're a devotee. And you have children. And then after 25 years and $1 million minimum, they all go off to college and don't want a spiritual education. They want a material education. And they just come around once a year and say, hi, Dad. And they introduce you to their friends. Yeah, they go out and their friends say, my dad, he's kind of nuts. You know, he's a Hare Krishna. What can you do? You know. I grew up with him. You know. Yeah, he's a nice guy. A little off. What do? You know what I mean? What a waste of time. That child could have taken birth in any family. And he had to come to my family? What a rat. I can't believe it. You see what I'm saying? Because you look at, see what all the endeavor that you put in, and then in the end, what does it come to? What does it give you? So education, mundane education is of no value. No value. If you go to school to get some technical skill that can be used in Krishna service, great. Engineering, computers, medicine, dental. Bhaktisiddhanta said, engineering and wrestling. This is what our boys should learn. How to build something practical and how to fight and defend it. Practical, right? I built this bridge. It brings the people to Mayapur. You cross it and have ill intent. I got 300 brahmacharis here about ready to bury you in the Ganges over there, and they know how to do it. Practical. Very practical. So when you come here, you don't make a problem. If you're a thief, you're not a thief when you cross this door. When you cross this door, you're a devotee. So this is Krishna consciousness. The perfection of education is to understand that I'm not this body. I'm pure spirit soul. I got the human form of life, finally. Let me make the best use of this human form of life, take advantage of this human form of life, to go back to home, back to Godhead, and in the process, take whoever wants to come with me. My brother, my friend, my sister, my son, my daughter, my wife, my mother, my father, my boss, my bus driver. It doesn't matter. You give them Krishna. Give them prasadam. Give them a holy name. Give them a swift kick in the pants. Come to the temple. Hare Krishna. Isn't it? This is Krishna consciousness. And this is the beautiful thing about this fourth canto. When Prabhuji came last night, he brought me the book. So I was reading the verse. But then I thought, all right, I read ahead for like an hour. I just kept going. This fourth canto is beautiful. Wonderful. So are there any questions? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you are giving a very nice example that once a person gets married, he's spending totally in 25 years this much amount. On one side, we know it, these are the things which we are supposed to do it because we have taken up the responsibility. On the other side, you have given an example about that airport of 8 hours you are working and you are not...
About the example of what?
You had given an example of the airport where the devotee is distributing the books.
Right.
And when he's distributing the books, the person is telling it, why are you not earning? Then you are saying, I'm doing the job. You are doing the job, I'm also doing the job. So, the person who sincerely wants to advance in Krishna consciousness and he is wanted to sincerely advance sincerely, he wants to follow the responsibility at the same time, he doesn't want to compromise his Krishna consciousness. That means he has to go on saving money.
Absolutely.
Otherwise he cannot survive. He has to be very practical and mature.
Absolutely.
So once he is on thinking on that platform, and if he just goes on doing the service without having any expectation or doing that type of a service, his life in future will be very, very impractical and immature. His wife and children will be definitely telling him, what the hell you are doing it? Why did you brought us? Why did you got married? So in that circumstances, what is the practical way which you have to work for Krishna, but at the same time, not compromising your responsibility?
Good question. And the key to understanding that is in sadhu-sangha, sarva-shastra-koi. Keeping the good association of the pure devotees. Then everything becomes touched, blessed. Everyone's endeavor becomes blessed. And it then becomes a harmonious, cooperative system. Just like this body, right? There are many aspects to this body and they all have to cooperate in order for the body to sustain life, right? We can say some parts of the body may be more important than others because if you remove them, the body dies immediately. Whereas if you remove other parts, they may not die immediately, but eventually one's health will become compromised. We can live without a foot. We can't live without a head. Right? Cut off the head, you're dead. Cut off the foot, you're just footless. Okay? So, the point I was making was that when one has a choice, he can make these choices based on how he feels he can best sustain his enthusiasm to serve Krishna. You see? How he can sustain his enthusiasm and his capacity to serve Krishna. Someone can serve Krishna in one particular way, and that may involve getting married, having children, working in a particular capacity in the material world. Someone else may have the capacity to avoid that and give 24 hours of his time to serving Krishna in this way. They're both giving 24 hours. One is giving 24 hours this way, and another is giving 24 hours in this way. The basic point is the same 24 hours are there for both, and they're giving them in two different ways. You see? And again, to address that, as Srila Prabhupada said, all Matajis must be married. Right? He said must. First canon says compulsory. He used the word compulsory. So, someone will have to have that inclination to take up that side of the society, to harmonize with the other side of society. And it'll happen. We don't have to worry. It will happen naturally. You understand? It will happen naturally. Just like one gentleman was speaking with Srila Prabhupada, and he was saying that these cars have really created a problem for the world. We have to get rid of these cars. And Prabhupada said, you will not get rid of these cars. They have evolved naturally as a byproduct of this age, Kali Yuga. And some form or another of these cars, we're with these cars forever in Kali Yuga. So if they run out of oil, they'll come up with some other way. You see? But transportation, mass transportation, individual, or that's with us. It's evolved naturally. So we have to just not worry about that, just accept it and work with it. Similarly, we have to accept these realities and work with them in Krishna consciousness. The basic idea is that it is imperative that no matter what situation we find ourselves, we try to make it Krishna conscious. And for that, we try to keep the association of the devotee. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, Stane sitak shruti katam tanu van manovir. Stay in whatever situation is most comfortable for you. And while in that situation, try to saturate yourself with hearing about Krishna. You see? I'm not saying something's better or worse. I'm simply saying, within every situation, there is the opportunity to constantly hear. And that's the key to showing Krishna that we're sincere and serious. That no matter. What was that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam? First canon. Ahaituki apratiyata. You know? Savaipung samparo dharmo. Chato bhaktira hoksache. Ahaituki apratiyata. Yayatma suprasidati. Devotional service can never be interrupted or impeded if one is sincere. Nothing material can interfere with our devotional consciousness, our devotional sentiment, our devotional internal actions. Can't be checked. Nothing can check it. No matter what situation we find ourselves, we will be able to proceed back to Krishna. Provided we maintain that sincere desire to hear, to recite the holy name, and keep good association of the devotees. Nothing can check it. Nothing. Ahoituki apratiyata. There's nothing material that can check the spirit. They're two different energies. And we've all had that experience. Just like sometimes we find ourselves in a situation that's rather unpleasant. But inside our mind we're chanting Hare Krishna. Right? And we're thinking of Krishna. So, we're not being checked. We're not being impeded. It's happening. We're Krishna conscious. Ultimately, we'll have to face death. And Srila Prabhupada says in that moment, our life errors will be very disturbed. Our consciousness of our surroundings will become weaker and weaker. We'll withdraw within ourselves. All these difficulties will be there. But we'll be hearing the holy name. You see? And that's what we're preparing for. So our life is meant to help train us for that. Any other questions? Thank you very, very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.